Wednesday, March 25, 1987, Spring Lectures, Dr. Lloyd Elder, President, Baptist Sunday School Board.
Lord God, we come to you this morning asking for your presence in a very special way on this institution, on this spring lecturer, on the life of every individual in this chapel. We pray, dear Lord, that we might be at the center of your will as we seek to understand what it means to be a minister in this day, in this time, what it means to be a prophet in this day, in this time, what it means to be a teacher in this day, in this time, what it means to be a servant in this day, this time. Grant us your presence in a very special way. We pray in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We gather for the second of our annual lectures. We're grateful to have Dr. Lloyd Elder, President of the Baptist Sunday School Board, as our spring lecturer this year. From the opening pages of his book, Blueprints, let me share with you a challenge that he has listed at the point of denominational renewal. As a people of God, let us earnestly seek to work together toward the spiritual and organizational renewal of our Southern Baptist denomination by understanding the nature of our denomination as a spiritual, human organization, by analyzing honestly where we are in spiritual development and organizational growth, by experiencing personal renewal and initiating a renewal process for managing changes toward greater denominational maturity, and committing the total resources of the denomination toward a larger contribution in the work of God's kingdom. I believe Lloyd Elder is the person who is seeking to do this in the best possible way at the point of leadership toward which many Southern Baptists look, the presidency of the Baptist Sunday School Board. Lloyd Elder is a personal friend, a true servant leader, a person who stands at the crossroads of the pressures in our denomination. I'm glad he is there and I am not. I think as we listen this morning and follow up on yesterday's lecture and hear something about his concept of the linking ministry between the work of the Sunday School Board and the program assignment given to the seminaries, we will have opportunity to consider various alternatives as well as looking at the reality of the situation in which we exist. Following this session this morning, down in Binkley 102, directly underneath this chapel, we will have our dialogue session that goes along with most of our lecture series, beginning at 11 o'clock in Binkley 102, our dialogue session with Dr. Lloyd Elder. Dr. Elder, we are pleased to have you on the campus and pleased to have you in this pulpit as our honored spring lecturer.
Thank you so much, Dr. Powers, and I want to respond to that gracious introduction and welcome again to this chapel, to this spring lecture. How pleased I am to be a part of Southeastern Seminary these days and to be on the team from the Baptist Sunday School Board as your guest and as a part of linking your ministry. I am glad to be here, and I do thank you for that introduction. I have noted that others may not want me in the position I'm in. I have met few others who want it, but I did not know you were going to bring that up. I want to expand my statement of appreciation to Dr. Randall Lally, who has been so supportive in hosting me and others of us in this important time together. The faculty has been encouraging and engaging and probing about our work together. We are deeply indebted to you as fellow workers in the cause of Christ, and I want to express my appreciation to you, as well as to the official faculty committee that has extended this invitation for the lecture. I am glad to be a part of it. I am reminded, as I come about six times during these 2 days to speak to the chapel or to classes or to other conferences, I am reminded of the opportunity to speak up, to speak out. And recently at our shop, we heard a fellow that told us the story about a pastor who came to retirement. And the new pastor was coming on stream, and they were walking through the church facilities together. And as they walked around looking at each part of it, apparently that retiring pastor was quite nostalgic about the visit. When they came to the auditorium, he stood behind the pulpit and said, "Now, young man, when you come to preach in this place, you're going to have to preach loudly." And the young man said, "And why is that?" He looked around again at the auditorium and he said, "Because the agnostics are bad in here." It is not so much acoustics or agnostics that bring us together, but the opportunity repeatedly, if not loudly, to say how we feel about the Lord Christ, about His work, and about our mutual sharing together. This is very important to me, to us, and I am glad to be a part of it. Linking ministry to the seminary. A different way of looking at the Baptist Sunday School Board, and rather specifically at the work of Sunday School, is the intention of the lecture this morning. Throughout the history of Southern Baptists, there has been an enduring and significant contribution by theological education to local church Christian education, and therefore to the ministry of all of you who serve Jesus Christ in and through the local church. The work of the Sunday School Board has all along been linked to the work of the seminaries. In the work of the local churches, and especially in the arena of lay theological education, the board continues to link your ministry to that of the seminary. In a concentrated period of study, the Southeastern Seminary will contribute to your life and lifelong ministry very extensively, broadly, and deeply. It is our intention at the Baptist Sunday School Board that we will lay our life down along beside you for the extensive journey of your ministry, and trust that God will help us to link with this seminary all that it can mean for you to be in the ministry of Jesus Christ. The lecture today will seek to develop this thesis in at least three essential ways. First is a brief examination of a text, Titus 1, 1 through 9, as the ministry of Paul is linked to that of Titus. And second, a walk down through the dusty road and even the superhighway of Sunday school work that challenges, I think, in every best theological and local church education way, that challenges us to be at our best in the cause of Jesus Christ. And then in closing, an extension of that, to link the board to you today to the ministry that God will be giving to you in the local church. The Sunday School Board has that glorious privilege of working in and through the ministry of others throughout Southern Baptist life. So let me begin by sharing with you a text that has to do with ministry. It comes out of the life of the Apostle Paul as he extends himself toward the young minister of the gospel, Titus. I share from chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and at His appointed season He brought His word to light, through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, nor violence, nor pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. A text on ministry from the life of the Apostle Paul, an evident text that shows linkage of ministry from Paul, if you please, a model minister and theological teacher, to Titus, who was one of his students, and one who himself had a significant ministry in the cause of Jesus Christ. I want to point out in the biblical background of the lecture for today only six statements that come to me out of this text and not try to expand them. First, personal experience with God through Jesus Christ is the beginning of any Christian labor or ministry. It is evident in the text, and it is confessed by Paul as a bond slave of God, as one who was a sent messenger of Jesus Christ, as one who had hope of eternal life. The beginning of ministry is always personal experience with God through Jesus Christ. Second, the central message of the Christian worker is the Word of God manifested in Jesus Christ. It is not our own message, although we own the message and it is a part of our lives. We seek to understand it. We phrase it in our own culture and language. Still, the central message is the message that God has given manifested in Jesus Christ. Third, our common faith in Jesus is the unifying linkage between individuals and generations. Not just between Paul and Titus, a true son in the ministry, in the common faith, Paul described him. But it is a linkage that we have together, this common faith in Jesus Christ, and one that, again, I would say is enduring. Fourth, the work of the Christian gospel has been passed along by the provident hand of God from believer to believer throughout the ages, from Paul to Titus, from Titus to the elders in every town, and from Holy Scripture to us, and from you as a minister of the gospel to those whom you will equip and with whom you will work in the local churches. And so the text talks about a cause. For this reason or cause I left you in Crete. There is a task, there is a purpose in life in the Christian ministry, and it has been heralded and passed along from generation to generation. There is a task to set in order, to heal that which is broken, to strengthen that which has been wounded. There is the task, indeed. There is the need to do what remains left to be done in the towns where there are believing Christians to receive a ministry and those who are without Christ to receive the gospel. There is always for you in your ministry, for me in my ministry, a remaining task, a work that is lacking, something to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. At least one strategy that is evident in the text of this gospel work that we have to do is to appoint elders in every town. That is, to have a leadership of ministry that has an equipping ministry of all those who come to know Jesus Christ, an overseer who will take that role and out of that role enhance that eternal message of Christ. Fifth, the Word of God continues to be the authority and basis for the Christian message, for the Christian life and the ministry that we have. It is stated clearly in this text and elsewhere that happily we have not only a calling from God, we have not only an event in history, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have not only a redeeming life, but we have a book of authority that comes to us from the Word of God and from God Himself. And sixth, is almost a therefore. Therefore, the main business of the Baptist Sunday School Board is to link our lives to ministry and to link our lives to others like Southeastern Seminary that has such a bold and aggressive and thorough contribution to the ministry of those who come to this place. And so, in biblical background, and I realize so very briefly, not exposition of the text, it is my intention to set forth today that we at the Baptist Sunday School Board, based on this kind of experience from biblical background and principle, we want to link ministry to Southeastern Seminary. Second, I want to set forth for the next little bit something of a historical journey of how this has taken place in Southern Baptist life. And after only a few years, how it began to take place with relationship to the Sunday School Board and to seminary education. In 1845, When the Southern Baptist Convention began, there was no record of Sunday school enrollment in Southern Baptist churches. However, there is a record that there were 351,000 members in 4,100 churches in the convention at the inception of the Southern Baptist Convention. Sunday school work in those days, pioneer work, difficult work, work that was always unfinished and work that was always difficult, but right at the heart of the work of a local church. Dr. Baker, in his history of the Baptist Sunday School Board, tells about a Presbyterian missionary, John McCullough, who was a Sunday school missionary in the mid-19th century. He wrote about the difficulty of Sunday school work in those days. The roads in these parts for the first mile or two were pretty good. For the next 3 miles, they were rough, and then they dwindled down to a bridle path. And after that, they were not much more than a sheep track. And then they faded into a squirrel track, and at last they ran up a tree. Now, there are times when I feel like your work and mine is just that pioneer work, and just that difficult, and no easy road, and begins on the dusty trail of life itself, but with an intention to be a ministry that links our life to the local church. At its very beginning, it was difficult work. In 1863, when the first Sunday School Board was adopted by the Southern Baptist Convention, there was approximately 700,000 Southern Baptist members. And even with the adoption of that first Sunday School Board, there was a linkage with theological education that has been astounding to me as I came on stream in Sunday School Board and Sunday School work. Dr. Basil Manley of Southern Seminary was chairman of a 7-member study committee that made the study and brought the report, which was authorized by the convention. And in that report, Dr. Manley gave a persuasive and eloquent rationale for Sunday school work in the local church. I want to read it to you because I would like for us, when we leave this chapel today, if no other single thought has embedded itself in our mind, to see how the giant intellect and the theological acumen and the commitment to seminary education has expressed itself in a commitment to local church education by a man like Basil Manley. His report began. It is needless, his report to the Southern Baptist Convention, 1863. It is needless to argue before this body the importance of Sunday schools or the duty of reporting, promoting their establishment and increasing their efficiency in every legitimate way. All of us have felt that the Sunday school is the nursery of the church, the camp of instruction for her young soldiers, the great missionary to the future. While our other benevolent agencies relate primarily to the present, this goes to meet and bless the generation that is coming, to win them from ignorance and sin, to train future laborers when our places shall know us no more. All of us have seen how Sunday schools tend to direct increasing attention to the Bible, to elevate the ministry, to train young ministers to build up churches in destitute parts, to foster the missionary spirit, to increase both our capacity and willingness for every good work. And most of us, in some form or other, have labored for their advancement. It is an appeal from my heart to yours as the board today seeks to link ministry to the work of the seminary, to say in my very limited way the same type of thing with eloquence that Manley said so many years ago. There is a need for the seminary education and the Baptist Sunday School Board to have a linkage together in support of local church Christian education. And I thank God that that endured then and has through the generations down to this good hour between our two agencies. And then John A. Broadus, who was the first corresponding secretary of the first Sunday School Board. also a teacher at Southern Seminary at that time. He took on that role as a bivocational minister, I suppose. He, along with Basil Manley, labored valiantly, if briefly, in order to make Sunday school work in the local church education, powerful and meaningful. The report that John A. Broadus gave in 1866 revealed that there was a shocking lack of support for the work of the board. Their receipts amounted to only $400 for the whole year. He had promised his wife in something of a melancholy agreement that they had that if things did not change, he would give up the corresponding secretary. He came to the report that year to make to the convention, and he reported on the beginning of a new publication. In January of the present year, the board began the publication of a small monthly paper entitled Kind Words for Sunday School Children. He reports, it was believed that nothing else which it was in our power to do could accomplish so much for Sunday school work as to put forth such a publication. And he goes on to describe it. Now could I pause again and link us together, a great theological mind giving himself to seminary education, but at the same time caring about the children in the local church. Caring that some publication bring the message of God's Word to the smallest little children in the churches, and therefore to make a contribution that was the greatest thing they could undertake to do, given the resources that they had. I would say about him, and I say to myself today, that there is a tremendous linkage between what we're trying to do at the Sunday School Board today and what this great seminary is doing in bringing ministry to bear on those who need clearly the message of Jesus Christ, and the Sunday school is one of the basic avenues to do so. In 1891, the present Sunday School Board was authorized by the convention meeting in Birmingham. There were 494,000 enrolled in Sunday school by then in 16,654 churches. The Southern Baptist Convention was growing. The churches were becoming more and more aware of the need for local church education. The other Sunday school board had failed in 1873, and now there had come on the scene a man with a passion, J.M. Frost, a man with a vision to say that this is the time for there to be a new Sunday school board. And so in 1890, in Fort Worth Convention, a committee was appointed, and during that year, much publication, a study was made, and there was an intention to have a report at the Birmingham Convention. The committee came together to study the matter. Many on the committee were opposed to having a new Sunday school board. There had been an embarrassment to the convention when the first board had failed. There seemed to be in the mind of some adequate materials, literature coming from the Baptist Publishing House in the North. And for many other reasons, there was resistance to the creation of a board. J.B. Gambrill of Mississippi led the resistance, and J.M. Frost of Virginia led the proponents for a new board, and they were both put on the committee. And then the committee asked these two men to write the report of the committee. The feeling of that study committee was that if they could agree on the report, the committee could. And if the committee did, the convention would. And so they were asked to write the report. They secluded themselves almost all day long in a hotel room in Birmingham. And they talked and they thought and they negotiated. And finally, J.B. Gambrill said to Frost, "I will let you write the report if you will let me write the last paragraph." And Dr. Frost said, "I will let you write the last paragraph if you will let me write the last sentence." And thus it was that Dr. Frost wrote the report recommending that there be a Sunday school board, that it be housed in Nashville, that one director from each of the cooperating state conventions be involved, and with some other detail. And then J.B. Gambrill, who had opposed the beginning of a board and for his own reasons, wrote the final paragraph. "In conclusion, your committee, in its long and earnest consideration of this whole matter in all its environments, have been compelled to take account of the well-known fact that there are widely divergent views held among us by brethren equally earnest, consecrated, and devoted to the best interest of the Master's kingdom. It is therefore recommended that the fullest freedom of choice be accorded to everyone as to what literature he will use or support, and that no brother be disparaged in the slightest degree on account of what he may do to exercise his right as Christ's free man. And then J. M. Frost added the final sentence, "But we would earnestly urge all brethren to give to this board a fair consideration and in no case to obstruct its great work assigned by this convention." I share that with you for two reasons. One, it is a part of the linkage that we have in ministry, the board with Southern Baptist, and in a moment you'll see again with the seminary. But also because it is amazing what happens in the midst of the people of God when people are statesmen, when there is an effort to do what's right by the Master's kingdom, when there is the full heart devoted to Christ and the intellect that is committed to integrity. And I would want in our day and time to be as much as I possibly can like a Gambrel or a Frost that moves forward trying to let the kingdom of Christ dominate every decision and even how the decision is made. The drama ended that night at the Birmingham Convention. Dr. Frost came to make the report of the committee. They could not even get him in the door. Brought him into a window near the platform when it was time for the report. He came to the platform and made the report, and history has recorded for us what took place at that time. When Frost lifted his eyes from reading the report, Dr. John A. Broadus immediately arose and moved to the rostrum, and an eyewitness tells what happened. This is recorded by A.T. Robertson. "Though he never held an office in the Southern Baptist Convention, I saw Dr. Broadus do a thing in that convention that no other man could have done. A great fight was expected over the report of the Sunday School Committee. A hot controversy had been going on in the papers, and men went to Birmingham Convention with speeches ready. They were eager for the fray. The moment had come. The report had been read. Discussion was in order. There was what all felt to be the lull before the storm. Broadus seized the opportunity, stepped to the front and spoke. Every word throbbed with emotion. It was a brief but passionate appeal for peace. The great throng bowed to his will. The spirit of controversy was muzzled, even as the spirit of the storm on Galilee was at the Master's word. Not another word was spoken. The report was adopted in silence. And even as I write these, the tears come unbidden as I think of the old veteran sitting there, his head buried in his hands and his whole frame heaving with emotions which, if I mistake not, found its relief in sobs." Moments of our history would indicate to us that it is possible to link ministry to the seminary, to link your ministry to seminary education, to see in the profound work of a Manley or of a Broadus or of an A.T. Robertson or of others who will commit themselves fully to what takes place in the local church, and that profoundly lives are changed by what takes place in Sunday school or Bible education. I bring that to your attention today with an appeal that forever we see ourselves as comrades in this faith, and that we link our hearts, our lives, our best interests, our highest dreams to what happens in the local church at the point of Bible education. In 1900, at the turn of the century, Sunday school enrollment had reached 670, about 40% of the church membership in 19,000 churches. And at that time, when Arthur Flake came to the Sunday School Board in 1909, the Sunday School enrollment had reached 1.1 million. And in 1920, he came forward with what has been called the Flake formula for Sunday school growth. And again, it is the kind of thing where those who were both theological teachers and practitioners came to make a tremendous contribution to what happens in the local church. His simple formula included those things you've read about, must never forget, and must be generated today with great enthusiasm. Take a census and find where the people are. Make a new organization, classifying along with present pupils those who are possibilities. Train the workers, prepare space, send the workers out to win, and bring those who are without. A very simple and ordinary plan, but one that had phenomenal growth in Winona Lake as he had labored as a Sunday school worker. What I want to do briefly is come to the close of this historical section, but to say to you, we have an opportunity today to think about those in the local church, those who are without. Without the church house, the church building, without the Sunday school class, outside the gospel of Jesus Christ, outside of a relationship to Christ as Savior. And we need, as did these great forebears in our own life, we need to think in terms of linking ministry at the point of the local church. And may God help us in the doing of it. And so we come down to a different day. I would simply recall that when I began my ministry in the 1950s, Sunday school had grown from 4.6 million in 1949 to 7.2 million in 1959, the most phenomenal growth in all of Southern Baptist life in Sunday school work. And during that time, we had what was called a campaign, a million more in 54. And it was a phenomenal success. Either that, or since only 600,000 were added to the enrollment that year, it was a monumental defeat. But nevertheless, here was a time in Southern Baptist life when the whole convention rallied around saying the Sunday school must grow in order for us to teach the Bible, in order for us to reach people for Jesus Christ. And growth there was. And it may have been the last kind of phenomenal growth that we have enjoyed, but not necessarily will enjoy in Southern Baptist life. And so in our own era, there's 8.5 by 85 and Challenge 1090, and opportunities for us today to reflect upon what has happened in our history. And the question that comes down to me today is, what will happen in the last 13 years of this century? What will happen in the local church as those of you in this seminary, Southeastern Seminary, made up of faculty and staff and student body, and those of us at the Baptist Sunday School Board, ask again the question, how can we link great theological education with local church education? We can do so at the point of those who go to minister in those local churches. And so the Sunday School Board has come to a new time of focus and commitment, not to the diminishing of the work of all of us at the board. All 17 programs assigned by the Southern Baptist Convention. Not to diminish the work of any one of our 1,900 employees. But with an effort to say, how can we in this generation make the largest contribution to ministry? How can we pick up on that which is done so well by seminary education and extend it into the local churches? And it is in my heart to say to you today that, again, the focus is on what it has been on through the decades, and that is the focus on Sunday school. I close by this practical application and call upon you to join with us in an interest, in an emotional and heart commitment, in a rational and biblical review of what can happen when Sunday school does well in the local church. It is not a panacea. It is not a utopia to be claimed. It is not simply something to be talked about as if it could not happen, but rather it is something that could happen in the midst of these days. And that is a renewal of Bible study in the local church by a larger number of church members and by those who are without, and yet who need to be within the influence of God's Word. And so we have tried to link your ministry and the seminary education you get at Southeastern Seminary by doing it in the local church. To place a denominational emphasis on bold mission thrust of reaching people for Jesus Christ, of having a time when the challenge is to enroll 10 million in Sunday school by 1990. Elder, are not these simply denominational shibboleths? Are these not simply new campaigns to grapple with us? And why do we deal so much with numbers? The emphasis to enroll 10 million in Sunday school by 1990 is because the millions are out there not in Bible study. The millions are out there not touched by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it is not just a matter of going along with the denomination, but something as deep as life itself that the Sunday School Board will seek to link your ministry to the local church by keeping the focus on bold mission thrust. It is a place of priority at the Sunday School Board. Sunday School and the other base church organizations. To say if we focus on growing churches, if we focus on churches being healthy and balanced and biblical, we will have done something to make a difference in every size of church throughout the whole land. And we will have linked the result of seminary education to ministry by focusing on growth in the local churches. To place the local church program as a sense of saying there is still a base and a field, and the local church program is the base of those who have already come in the army of Jesus Christ, and they're in the best position to go out into the field in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Sunday School Board will link your ministry to that base field concept in the local church, and therefore claim the great good that you have received from seminary education. There was a saying back in the olden days when I started my ministry that great Sunday schools build great churches. Perhaps we have lost that. Perhaps we have come to a time that there is the gimmick that will build the great church, or the extravaganza, the dramatic will build the great church. Could it be that you're the very ministers of the gospel that will sense again that the place of building a great church is around the Bible study program of the church, as well as the discipleship training of the church and the pastoral staff leadership of the church? Linking your ministry by having a people-centered ministry. The need of the city or the country, of all colors and languages, people where they are, the Sunday School has a way of touching those. And so the focus has come to be on Sunday School. It is a place and it is a focus, it is a linkage that still demands a steadfast commitment. It is not just the Presbyterian missionary doing Sunday school work in the 19th century, but Sunday school work is always hard work. It is always unfinished work. And there is something else more glamorous to claim the attention, but what happens if every pastor and staff member and 100 and 1 million lay leaders of Sunday school, what happens if we give our best to building Sunday school work in the local church? We will have multiplied your ministry many, many times over. The Sunday school is the focus because it is a caring fellowship. Most of the caring ministry, not all, but much of the caring ministry in the local church is carried out through the Sunday school classes and departments, and so may it continue to be that we not only teach what God says, but have a structure, an organization, a commitment to do what He says. A place that is built by prepared leadership. Arthur Flake stated it simply, but it is still a need that when you leave with your seminary education, you will be in position to equip other leaders, and they in turn to share the gospel as Paul did with Titus, as you have opportunity with others to expand the power of your seminary education by contributing to the leadership capacity of lay leaders in the local church. It is the need that we have not only of sound doctrine in sound doctrinal statements, but for the Sunday School Board to be committed to your ministry by having literature that is sound in doctrine, but also sound in its balance and content toward winning people to Jesus Christ and nurturing them in Jesus Christ and equipping them for ministry in Christ. And so the focus is on biblical content, to change lives by the power of God's Word, not simply to transmit information, but actually to see in behavior and relationships changes made because of our commitment to ministry. I want to close the statement, the lecture this morning, by saying that it is in our heart to join others in placing a sense of urgency on evangelism in our day, and to do so through all of our programs, but yes, through our Sunday school work. I read with great interest and with profit the plan of action by your president. I noted in that there is a commitment to focus on evangelism and missions, to let the very spirit of evangelism and missions be a part of the life of Southeastern Seminary. That is what we're saying at the Sunday School Board, that all across this great nation, across the great world in which we live, there are still the multitudes who are without Jesus Christ as Savior. And so we link our ministry to yours at the seminary with agreement in that. And we link the ministry of each one who are student ministers here for the days to come by putting a sense of urgency on evangelism. If for no other reason, I began by saying that I was lost, but now I have been found because Southern Baptist planted a Sunday school and a church 4,000 miles from my Texas home and converted in Fairbanks, Alaska, because there was a witness to the power of Jesus Christ. An urgency of evangelism because 160 to 180 million people in this nation may not have a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. An urgency of evangelism because in our day and time, there is still the gospel message that those without Jesus Christ are lost. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel message has not changed, and we receive that message theologically in the seminary setting, and we go out into the church to say again and again, in every type of ministry, in every program, in the sermons we preach, the songs we sing, the leadership we give, that Jesus Christ is the Savior. The urgency of evangelism because finally the end result in the local church is not just that we have the right organization or the right classroom structure or the right balance in church programs, but that we make a difference in the lives of people. The plea of my heart, and I share it with you in closing, is that we so minister together, the board and the seminary, at the point of your own calling and commitment to Jesus Christ, that when we come to the end of the way, it could be said of us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I've even thought more narrowly than that, and I have thought what would happen if today we focus our attention so much on Christ, upon His message, and what takes place authentically in the local church, that we come to the end of this century, and rather than having the great fragmentation of a good people, we have a glorious people who are committed to the kingdom of God, and we find ourselves expressing the gospel of Jesus Christ not in 37,000 churches, but 50,000 churches. And not by 14.6 million Southern Baptists, but 24 million Southern Baptists. And at the end of this century finds us deeply moved by the gospel of Christ and behaving as the gospel teaches us to and committed to the kingdom into which it has drawn us. May God help us to have that kind of linkage in ministry in our day.
Express our gratitude to Dr. Elder. Will you join me in prayer? Depart now in peace, knowing your Lord, knowing your Savior. knowing the guidance of the Holy Spirit in your life. Go proclaiming and go serving. In the name of one who empowers us for life and ministry. Amen.